We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody, Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybu and on Facebook. This week's guest is Molly Dill. Molly Dill is the director of G Beta Milwaukee at Generator. She joined Generator after a 9-year journalism career. Molly most recently served as managing editor of BizTimes Milwaukee, a biweekly regional business magazine where she also covered the Milwaukee startups, technology, and financial services beats. Molly previously was a reporter at the Marshfield News Herald in Marshfield, Wisconsin. An Illinois native, she earned a bachelor's in journalism from Marquette University. Molly, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I am also from Illinois, so what part of the state are you from?
I'm from Roselle, which no one knows where that is.
I do know where that is.
Oh, really? So I always tell people it's near IKEA, but now that we have an IKEA in Oak Creek, no one will know anymore.
I grew up in Streamwood, Illinois, which no one knows where that is.
Very close by.
Yeah, when I say Elgin, you know, then like, oh, I know where that
is.
That's
awesome.
We'll have to talk about that a little bit. Yeah, didn't know that one. That's fun. Well, let's dive into it right away. Why did you switch from journalism to startups?
Well, I had been covering startups for the last 2 years at BizTimes, and I had been at BizTimes about 8 years, and rose to managing editor there. I felt that I kind of had plateaued and I needed a new challenge in my career. Mm-hmm. And since I was covering startups and I had developed a lot of contacts in the startup world, it was kind of a natural evolution, actually, as a result of networking. They recruited me over to Generator, and I'm loving it.
That's awesome. I love that it happened just kind of organically.
Yeah.
And it came through the means of networking, but obviously as a journalist, networking is kind of what you got to do, right?
Right.
So what exactly is G Beta Milwaukee?
G Beta Milwaukee is a program of Generator. So just to kind of give you an overview of Generator, it's a startup accelerator that was started in 2012. Joe Kurgis and Troy Vossler are two of the co-founders who are still active today. And that original accelerator program has grown to the point that it's nationally ranked.
Cool.
And every time we offer the Generator program, we get a national pool of applicants. And that program's for more developed startups. We do take an ownership stake in return for a $100,000 investment, and we only accept 5 startups per program.
Wow.
And so it had grown to the point that we wanted to make sure we were still helping startups here in our Milwaukee community and specifically and intentionally helping them. And so a couple of years ago, Generator launched the G-Beta program starting in Milwaukee and Madison. It's what we call our pre-accelerator for very early stage startups. It's free. It's 7 weeks, and we follow sort of a loose curriculum, really focusing on one-on-one mentorship. And now G-Beta has expanded to, I believe we have 16 programs in 13 cities now, but it's changing. We're constantly adding more as we find cities that might benefit from the programming.
Wow, that's awesome. So how is this a free offering?
It is funded by sponsors.
Okay.
So in each city we go to, we need to make sure we have corporate sponsors who can help cover the costs because the startups in the program are so early on, they really can't afford to pay for the program. And so we like to try to offer it to them for free.
That's awesome. So how would someone or a startup that's interested in applying go about that process to be part of G Beta Milwaukee? What's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. They can contact me. My email is molly@generator.com. That's generator with an 8. And we have a website, gbetastartups.com. There's different city pages on there. Our fall program began October 24th. And that goes through December 13th. And then we'll take a little bit of a winter break and begin again in the spring. We have 3 cohorts per year, so spring, summer, and fall.
Do you want to share what the parameters are that of the founder or startups that you do target or are the best or the ideal candidates for this program?
Sure. We're looking for startups that are highly unique and highly scalable.
Okay.
And they must be based in Greater Milwaukee for my program.
Nice.
So it's not so much the main street businesses like a barbershop or a restaurant. It's more really original solutions to problems that others haven't come up with before or that are filling a need or a niche or are uniquely different.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. So you did briefly mention networking as a way that moved you into the spot that you are today professionally. Can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
Yeah. So my first job, I did get that one just by applying and getting lucky. I just applied for a bunch of jobs and I happened to get one of them. But since then, I have found each job via networking. For my first job was at the Marshfield News Herald in Marshfield, Wisconsin, which you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to get back to Milwaukee. I went to Marquette, and I really loved Milwaukee. I wanted mm-hmm. to be here. And so I had kept in touch with a mentor from my internship during college. And this mentor, Julie, she kept me in mind because she knew I wanted to get back to Milwaukee. I made sure she knew, like, hey, I want to come back to Milwaukee mm-hmm. if you see anything. And she did. So she saw a job posting for a reporter position at BizTimes Milwaukee. And I believe this was 2011. And so she sent me an email and she offered to reach out and make a recommendation for me. And I would not have gotten that job if it weren't for her.
That's awesome. I love that. And yeah. I want to take this little soundbite and make all of my students hear that you kept in touch with your mentor while you were in school. And it really helped you achieve the goal that you had at the end of the day. That's a fascinating story. Thanks for sharing that. Molly, as you've evolved, and obviously as a journalism, you've built quite the extensive network, I would imagine, with your background. And even what you're doing today, helping startups kind of get to that next level in their business, you're building, your network is big and vast. What do you do to stay in front of or nurture these relationships that you're creating?
Yeah. So I try to... I don't have like a specific number in mind, but several times per week I try to meet various contacts for coffee, for drinks, whatever, just to make sure that we're keeping in touch and I know what's going on with them and they know what's going on with me and how we might be able to help each other or work together. So I think a good networking interaction is a kind of give and take, right? So mm-hmm. you might be meeting with them because they can help you with something in your job, but also making sure to ask, like, how can I help you?
Yeah.
And I think that way it can be kind of mutually beneficial.
It is. I think it's really important to go both ways, really. It's right. Not just what can I get out of you? It's what can I give to you? Mm-hmm. How can I help you? I love that. So what advice would you offer the business professional or even that new startup founder who's kind of uncertain on how to build their network and some of the tools and advice, I guess, you'd give for them?
It can be unnatural for some people, and myself included, to sort of be outgoing and put yourself out there and walk up to people and say, hey, like, I'd like to meet you. We've never met before, but let's talk. But it can be easiest, especially at the start, to just go to a networking event and meet a bunch of people at once. Mm-hmm. It's a little more efficient. So go to a networking event in your industry that you know you'll want to meet people at, and then... just strike up conversations. It's really hard at first, but the more you go, the more everyone in the room isn't a stranger anymore. And these are some people you've met before, and you can just pick up where you left off. So I would say kind of forcing yourself to get out there and meet new people can help you so much.
So are there any key, I know, let me step back here. Milwaukee has a million events, literally every hour, every day. Mm-hmm. Any key events, specific for startups that you have found to be really beneficial?
Yeah. So the startup scene is really active in Milwaukee, uh-huh. and there are a lot of networking events. I particularly like Startup Milwaukee. I think Matt Cordio does a wonderful job yep. with his events. I was just last week at Fall Experiment. That was amazing. It was a great way to go to a lot of different organizations, networking events in one place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all kinds of great events in town. Nuance, Newaukee, probably missing some, but I try to make it to as many as possible in a variety of different organizations.
Yeah, it's hard to balance that time of doing the work, but then going out and building the relationships. So a lot of the conversations that we've had today have really focused about those in-person, or what I like to refer to as the traditional networking events. But obviously, digital is a huge part of building relationships today, especially with social media. And your experience, is digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
I like traditional networking. Digital networking, I think, can be kind of a companion, but traditional in-person, that's way more memorable than someone connecting with you on LinkedIn, particularly if the LinkedIn connection doesn't include a message of any kind. Uh-huh. You know, it's easy to let that fall by the wayside. Whereas in person, you know, you're making a connection. Hopefully you're telling a story that is memorable, or you have something in common, and you can see the person's facial expression. You can kind of react to that, uh-huh, and have a give and take in a way that's not as possible in digital networking.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think you made a good point about LinkedIn when you said, you know, especially when there's no message or comment. And I've basically gone the way of, if you don't go out of your way to write a message, I'm not even taking the time to to consider connecting with you. Mm-hmm. Just because it is so impersonal and you have to take that extra step in the digital space. But I agree. Traditional, I think there's a lot of value in building those memorable experiences that you were talking about. Nice. Molly, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your personal or professional career?
I think I was a little hesitant at first to ask for help in building my network and advancing my career. And so I would just kind of push myself to ask people to connect me to other people. So like asking, especially if you're in college still and you're getting started, asking your professors, they probably have worked in the field or currently are working in the field, ask them to connect you to people who you want to know, mm-hmm, or where you want to work, have them go to bat for you, that kind of thing. So I probably would have done more of that.
I think that's very sound advice. It's not to, you're not out there to do it by yourself. And most people, if you ask, are going to be willing to support than not support, I'd say.
Especially in Milwaukee. People are so nice. And it's small Milwaukee. Everyone knows each other, so it's easy to get connected. Uh-huh. There's like 1 degree of separation.
There's a lot of truth to that, I would say. I mean, even though our listenership is national, I'm definitely a big advocate of Milwaukee, and I talk about Milwaukee quite often on the podcast. And I do have a lot of local guests as well. But yeah, there's something special that's happening in this town. That being said, so we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation, and you just spoke to Milwaukee being 1 degree of separation. Outside of Milwaukee, or maybe it is someone in Milwaukee, is there anyone that you'd really love to connect with? And do you think you could do that within 6 degrees?
Yeah, I am really passionate about the startup space, and I'm learning so much about it still. But I think when it comes to founders, I would love to meet the founders of Airbnb, because I remember my initial reaction to Airbnb being just completely appalled. Like, why would you go stay in someone's house, particularly if that person is still there, like just in their spare bedroom, sure, that you've never met before, and how they overcame that challenge, because I think a lot of people reacted that way. Uh-huh. And now it's kind of an everyday thing.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a disruptive concept, and I would love to talk to them about how they decided to pursue that and persevere with it, despite kind of some market pushback.
Yeah, I mean, they challenged the status quo of travel and lodging is really what they did, and I think it's fascinating. And that seems to be the trend as far as all the big successful startups are really digging deep into how to challenge the norms that society has accepted for today. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I like that. So how would you go about trying to connect with them?
Well, let's see. So our founder, Joe Kurgis, travels constantly and knows people all over the country in the startup community. And I'm pretty sure he knows someone that would know them.
So 2 degrees away, maybe.
Three. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, we have programs all over the country. We have connections in California, and I'm sure I should really know which city they're in. They're probably in California. but I'm sure there's a way to make that happen.
Okay. So when are you going to start this? You knew that was coming.
maybe if I travel out there, I would put that in motion.
Yeah, I think I'm always fascinated to hear, you know, who someone aspires to connect with, and then I guess what's stopping you from moving forward and trying to make that connection.
Yeah, that's a good point. Nerves, probably.
Oh, step outside of your comfort zone, right? All right. So as a writer, I imagine you enjoy reading to some extent.
I do.
And I'm always inspired and interested in what books my guests are reading. So can you share with me what's on your or listening to podcasts or whatever it is that you want to share?
Absolutely. I'm currently reading The Lean Startup by Eric Ries.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, we said I'm relatively new to my role at Generator, and I'm trying to learn as much as I can about the models that they find to be most effective. So, like, they have an internal model, but a lot of it is based on the Lean Startup.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm finishing that up as I prepare to lead my first solo cohort.
Cool. That's exciting.
Yep.
Sounds like a good read.
It is. It's very much focused on building quickly. And not so much focusing on perfection and getting the product exactly how you want it, but making sure that you're testing it and talking to customers early before it's perfected so that you know if they even want that product or if you're even building it to what a customer would want.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good read overall. And just there's a kind of a rule that we practice. It's, you know, done is better than perfect, but I mean, we want to make it the best work we possibly can, but the other thing, perfect is an individual perception. So mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, what you think is perfect, someone else may think is terrible. So it's hard to, you're never going to be perfect. No one's ever going to have a perfect product. So it's good. I think that's a really good message. And it's hard to learn that, especially as someone who has a vision and an idea mm-hmm. to have this great offering to give to the world.
And I think people don't like to ask for feedback because they're worried it might be negative.
Uh-huh.
And so there is some resistance to asking customers or potential customers to look at something before it's finished.
Yeah. I think it's really important to get that insight, though, because you don't want to make the investment both from a time and financial perspective to find out nobody wants your product.
Exactly.
I'm going to add that to my reading list.
Good.
All right. So I know you listen to episodes. I don't know if you've listened to some recent ones, but I throw a little curveball in there and give you an opportunity to interview me. So what's something that you would like to ask me?
I was just talking to one of your employees, and I was wondering how you do everything you do with just 7 employees. I think that's always a good sign when you think a company has more employees than they do.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm an idea person, and I'm also very big into process and efficiency. So, for example, right now we're in the process of migrating off of one CRM system into another one, and that's something we know we're going to be doing for other clients. So we're documenting this process while we're doing it so that we're not trying to figure it out, you know, the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time that we're doing it. We're creating efficiencies, which I think is super important to run lean, as I'm sure there's some messages in that book about processes and efficiencies. But also one of the things that I put in practice is every time we do something, we have to do it 1% better than the last time we did it. And that it creates efficiency, but also allows us to continue to evolve in our own practice and everything that we're doing here.
How did you, 1%. That seems like a small amount, but it, what is the goal there of improving 1% every time?
There was a great visual that I saw that it totally inspired me. You know, if you don't add and evolve, you're basically stagnant or slowly dying. And if you just do, you know, you don't have to make it perfect, as we spoke about. But if you can just make it a little bit better than you did last time, you know, and you do it 50 times, think of the evolution that has come in that deliverable from the first time you did it to where you are today.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I'm going to use that. Thank you.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks. Good questions. I like that. All right. So, Molly, do you have any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I would say just be outgoing. Try not to be too shy and just ask for what you need from your network. And you like try to be helpful to your network as well. So it's that mutually beneficial relationship. And you can really grow with the help of your network.
I think that's really powerful, is that you can grow with the help of your network. Definitely. Thank you so much. So if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, I know you shared your email and your website before, but any additional ways, the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at BizMolly, BizMolly, MOLLY.
All right. Great. We will include all of that information in our show notes and some information on G-Beta. So if anyone's interested, they can definitely take a look at it. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today, Molly.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
It was a lot of fun, and you have some really good stories to share. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Molly for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.